Our scripture reading this morning comes from Psalm 52. Psalm 52. As I've been working my way through 1 Samuel, from time to time we come to a psalm which is based on the story in 1 Samuel, and I've been referring to those psalms. And last Sunday morning, as we focused in on 1 Samuel 22, the chapter was so large, did not have time to go to the psalm. And so this morning, I'm going to preach Psalm 52, which is based on the story of last week's passage in 1 Samuel 22. Let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy, infallible, and inerrant word. Psalm 52, for the director of music, a Maskil of David, when Doeg the Edomite had gone to Saul and told him, David has gone to the house of Ahimelech. Why do you boast of evil, you mighty man? Why do you boast all day long, you who are a disgrace in the eyes of God? Your tongue plots destruction. It is like a sharpened razor, you who practice deceit. You love evil rather than good, falsehood rather than speaking the truth. You love every harmful word, O you deceitful tongue. Surely God will bring you down to everlasting ruin. He will snatch you up and tear you from your tent. He will uproot you from the land of the living. The righteous will see and fear. They will laugh at him, saying, here now is the man who did not make God his stronghold, but trusted in his great wealth and grew strong by destroying others. But I am like an olive tree, flourishing in the house of God. I trust in God's unfailing love forever and ever. I will praise you forever for what you have done. In your name I will hope, for your name is good. I will praise you in the presence of your saints. Thus the reading of God's word as it comes to us from Psalm 52. We begin this morning with a refresher about the context of our psalm. The title underneath Psalm 52 is, when Doeg the Edomite had gone to Saul and told him, David has gone to the house of Ahimelech. This psalm is written during one of the darkest days of King Saul. King Saul, as king of Israel, is supposed to destroy the people of Canaan. God has ordained him as his king, king of his nation, to destroy the Canaanites. And in chapter 15, as Samuel instructs Saul to destroy the Amalekites, Saul allows the king to live, and he does not destroy all the animals and all the peoples of the Amalekites. Because Saul fails to follow God's instructions, Samuel tells Saul that the Lord has rejected him as king. Saul then turns upon the next king. He is trying to kill King David through the next chapters of our story. And David, while on the run in 1 Samuel 21, goes to Ahimelech the priest, and he seeks Ahimelech's help. And Ahimelech grants David some of the consecrated bread and the sword of Goliath. And in that story, we read that Doeg the Edomite was there. As David leaves Ahimelech, Doeg the Edomite, one of those Saul was supposed to destroy, an Edomite, goes to King Saul and tells him what Ahimelech has done. Saul calls Ahimelech before him, Ahimelech the priest, and he confronts him. And Saul gives the order to have Ahimelech the priest and 84 others also destroyed, along with their women and children and all their animals. Saul's own men will not carry out the order, but Doeg the Edomite does. Saul, the king of Israel, who is supposed to destroy the Canaanites in the way that Joshua did at Jericho, instead turns the sword on the very priests of the Lord, having Doeg the Edomite, one of those to be destroyed, destroying the priests of God. Abiathar, Ahimelech's son, runs from the death and escapes. And when he goes to David, at the end of chapter 22, David tells Abiathar, "That day when Doeg the Edomite was there, I knew he would be sure to tell Saul, 'I am responsible for the death of your father's whole family. Stay with me. Don't be afraid. The man who is seeking your life is seeking mine also. You will be safe with me.'" And in this context, David wrote the words of Psalm 52. Psalm 52 is divided up into two different stanzas, two big parts, verses 1 through 7, verses 8 and 9. Verses 1 through 5 of this psalm speak to us concerning Doeg, and verses 6 and 7 is the conclusion of that first stanza of what will happen to Doeg. As the psalm concludes, we focus in on David and his trust and his understanding of God in the midst of such death and destruction. You see, this psalm is a contrast. It's a contrast between good and evil. It is a contrast between the wicked and the godly and what God will do to each. And the first verse of this psalm sets up this contrast for us. "Why do you boast of evil, you mighty man?" Now the NIV goes on and does not do a very accurate job of translating that second line. And so I'm going to read it to you from the New Revised Standard Version and from the King James. "Why do you boast of evil, you mighty man? The loving kindness of God endures all the day." Or the goodness of God endures all the day. The NIV doesn't accurately show us the contrast that the author is making at the beginning of this psalm. But the contrast is between the evil man who is boasting, the man who thinks he is mighty, and the loving kindness of God that endures all the day long. This is the theme of the psalm. And the first part of the psalm focuses in on the first part of verse 1. And the last part of the psalm, verses 8 and 9, focuses in on the second part of verse 1. As the psalm begins, we hear all about Doeg. "Why do you boast of evil?" Doeg is boasting about what he has done. Doeg, no doubt, has received reward from King Saul for doing what he's done, telling Saul about Ahimelech and giving aid to David. Doeg was Saul's head shepherd. Doeg does something that Saul's own men won't do. He goes and he kills the priests. And by killing the innocent priests of the Lord, he believes that he is a mighty man. But what does David say about him? Verse 2. "Your tongue plots destruction. It is like a sharpened razor, you who practice deceit." David describes his tongue like a sharpened razor. He doesn't describe it like a sword. A sword which, when somebody strikes you with a sword, the damage is obvious. Instead, his tongue is described like a sharpened razor. Like a razor that when it cuts, you don't necessarily notice the cut or the damage that is done right away. David goes to Ahimelech. Ahimelech gives him aid. And Doeg the Edomite is there. We don't read that Doeg goes to Ahimelech and says, Ahimelech, you shouldn't do this. The king is going to be angry. Doeg doesn't go to David, no, Ahimelech can't help you. He shouldn't do this. He doesn't warn them that if they do this, he's going to tell. Doeg stands there and watches what takes place and keeps silent. Plotting, verse 2, plotting destruction. Your tongue plots destruction. Doeg knew what he was going to do. He saw his chance. He saw his chance to get into the good eyes of King Saul. He plots destruction like a sharpened razor, you who practice deceit. Verses 3 and 4 are connected together because they both start out the same way. You love and you love. Verse 3, you love evil rather than good. Isn't that what this psalm is about? Good and evil. And Doeg loves evil rather than good. Falsehood rather than speaking the truth. You love every harmful word, O you deceitful tongue. Doeg loves what he has done. He loves what he has witnessed. He loves the opportunity to bring about death and destruction and advancement for himself in the eyes of the king. Falsehood is his life, not speaking the truth. So what's going to happen to Doeg? Verse 5. Surely God will bring you down to everlasting ruin. He will snatch you up and tear you from your tent. He will uproot you from the land of the living. Doeg has placed his tent in the land of the living. Doeg is Saul's chief shepherd, chief herdsman, 1 Samuel 21. He has lived his life within the land of Israel, the land of the living, the land of the people of God. And God is going to snatch him up from there. He will tear his tent from the land of the living, meaning it's not going to be pretty. It's not going to be a sharpened razor where people won't see. They're going to know when his tent is torn from the land, when he is uprooted from this land of the living. And surely, the NIV emphasizes, rightly, surely God will bring you down to everlasting ruin, or ruin forever. Well, what is the conclusion then? The righteous will see and fear. Verse 6. They will laugh at him, saying, here now is the man who did not make God his stronghold, but trusted in his great wealth and grew strong by destroying others. The righteous, David writes, will see. They will see what happens to Doeg, and they will fear. Does that mean they will be afraid of Doeg? No. They will fear God for the judgment he brings upon Doeg. And they will laugh at him, saying, here now is the man who did not make God his stronghold, but trusted in what? His great wealth. What did Doeg do? He saw his opportunity to increase his wealth, to increase his riches, by giving Ahimelech the priests of the Lord over to King Saul, having them destroyed, so that his life on earth, his riches, could be increased. His strength on earth is from destroying others. God is not his stronghold. Well, what about David? Verse 8. But I am like an olive tree. I am like an olive tree. In the commentators that write about this psalm, people have the idea that somehow the olive tree must be a very large tree, or the biggest, tallest tree that the psalmist could think of. Or perhaps its branches would spread out like unlike any other tree that someone might gaze upon in the land of Canaan. But what distinguished the olive tree from others is that it lived a long time. For 100 years or maybe more, an olive tree would stand. Its age is what distinguishes it from other trees. And Doeg the Edomite is going down to everlasting ruin. God is going to snatch him up, tear him from his tent, and he will uproot him from the land. Verse 5. But David is like the olive tree, green or flourishing in the house of God. We're told in verse 5 that Doeg will be uprooted from the land of the living, that his tent, though it is in the land of Israel, will be torn from there and snatched from there to everlasting ruin. But David, like the olive tree, will flourish forever in the house of God. Why? Verse 8, second half. I trust in God's unfailing love forever and ever. We're told in verse 7 that Doeg trusted, same word, trusted in his great wealth. And because he did not make God his stronghold and trusted in his own wealth, he will go down to ruin forever. But David, verse 8, trusts in God's unfailing love forever and ever. The psalmist emphasizes Doeg's ruin, his ruin, verse 5, forever, everlasting ruin, or forever. But at the end of verse 8, as he describes God's unfailing love, it lasts forever and ever. Do you see the psalmist's emphasis? His emphasis is on God. His emphasis is on forever. His emphasis is his roots in the house of God, which last forever and ever. But what about the end? Verse 9. I will praise you forever for what you have done. In your name I will hope, for your name is good. I will praise you in the presence of your saints. We have learned in this psalm about the difference between good and evil. The psalmist condemns the falsehood and deceit of Doeg. He loves deceitful words. He uses his deceitful and false tongue to destroy others. But as the psalmist finds his comfort in God, his deliverance in the house of God and God's unfailing love, he speaks the right kind of words. I will praise you, I will thank you forever for what you have done. What did God do? Well, as David hears the news, he stands up there at the cave and he hears from Abiathar what has happened to Abiathar's family. Abiathar's family, his father, comes from the house of Eli. God has ordained that the house of Eli would be destroyed for the sins of Eli's sons. As David hears the words, he knows about that curse. He knows that that's the curse of the Lord. Yet he also knows that the priests that were destroyed and murdered by Saul were not participants in the sins of Eli. I will praise you forever for what you have done, for what you will do, O God. For in your name I will hope. In your name, some of the translations say, I will wait. The meaning of this Hebrew word is concerning the waiting and the hope upon God. What can David do? The priests have been destroyed. David feels responsible at the end of the chapter for what has happened to the family of Abiathar. What can he do? He waits and hopes on the name of the Lord. Why? Because the name of the Lord is good. Where is the hope in this psalm? Where is the hope for those priests? What kind of hope is it that David waits for? What does he find in the name of the Lord that is good? Remember what he tells us in verse 6? The righteous will see and fear. They will laugh at him, saying, here now is the man who did not make God his stronghold, but trusted in his wealth and grew strong by destroying others. Who are the righteous? The priests. The priests that Doeg has destroyed with his deceitful tongue. The priests that have experienced death at the hands of this Edomite. The righteous will see and fear. They will laugh at him. Why? One of the themes that David brings out in this psalm is forever. Verse 5, surely God will bring you down to ruin forever, is the Hebrew word. The end of verse 8, I will trust in God's unfailing love forever and ever. Verse 9, I will praise you forever for what you have done. As David writes these words, he's not just thinking of the temporary and the earthly destruction. He is finding his hope in the name of the Lord. He waits upon the name of the Lord who is good. He waits upon the name of the Lord who will someday judge those with wicked and deceitful tongues who love evil and who love destruction and who seek to destroy others. And someday the righteous, though they may be destroyed, even those priests will see and fear and laugh at the one who trusted in his great wealth and did not make God his stronghold. For he goes down to ruin forever. But those who trust in God's unfailing love will live forever and ever. And they will, verse 9, they will, the end of verse 9, praise him in the presence of the saints forever and ever. How does this take place? What name is it that David is waiting on? The name of the Lord that is good, that is righteous. It's the Son of David. For through the Son of David, God will bring this about. Through God's own Son, Jesus Christ, He will fulfill this psalm. If you look at the words of this psalm and what is said about Doeg, these could also be the words of our Savior. Our Savior came into this world, and what did they do during His ministry? They plotted His destruction like a sharpened razor. Did they come in with their swords and try to keep Him from the people and from the temple? Of course not. They listened to His sermons. They tried to trick Him. They stood behind the scenes plotting to destroy Him, just like Doeg. As He stood before the Sanhedrin, as He stood before the chief priests, they told lies and made false accusations against Him. As He stood before Pilate, they had men who accused Him falsely. He knows all about those who plot destruction like a sharpened razor. He knows and saw those who loves evil rather than good, falsehood than speaking the truth, who love their harmful words and deceitful tongues. He knows the one whose tent was planted in the land of the living, one of the 12 who trusted in His great wealth, 30 pieces of silver, instead of making God his stronghold, who was torn from his tent and uprooted from the land of the living. There is hope in the name of the Lord for the priests and for David, because God would send His very own Son to face this destruction on their behalf. And He would be righteous, and He would make them righteous. They will see and fear because of Him. They will laugh at those who sought to destroy them because of Him. He will make you an olive tree that flourishes with Him in the house of God because of His unfailing love that will bring you there forever and ever. We live in a difficult time. We prayed this morning for four members of this congregation, three in particular, who we know are going to the Persian Gulf to face war. Just a couple days ago, they raised the terror alert one step up, alerting the nation that terror could happen, death and destruction could happen to you anytime. In Psalm 52, we read of the righteous who will see and fear, who will laugh at those who plot destruction and death, who speak falsehood, who plot destruction like a sharpened razor that you cannot see. And it ends with David's confidence, with your confidence in God's unfailing love, which roots you like an olive tree in the house of God, finding your hope in His good name, so that you may sing His praises in the presence of the saints forever and ever. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank you for Psalm 52 and how it reveals to us your servant David's trust in you and his hope in your good name. We thank you that you have more fully revealed to us your revelation in Jesus Christ. We're thankful that he came into this world and faced death and destruction for us, so that we may be righteous, so that we may see and fear, that we may be rescued from the death and destruction that is due those who are sinners, and we may dwell in the land of the living forever. We pray that you would give us comfort and hope in these words, that we may identify with this psalm as we think of the world and what's taking place, that we may find our comfort and hope in you and in your good name, that we may sing your praises in your presence and the presence of the saints forever and ever. Give us the comfort of knowing that no matter what happens to us on this earth, we have our Savior, and no one can take us away from him. And in him, we have hope and joy for all eternity. We pray all of these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.